Om Shanti 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 Peace. Good evening.
Good evening.
I welcome you from the bottom of my heart. When you sit in the silence, the power of the self is at work. Even though your mind is still thinking thoughts, as long as you're sitting and you're quiet and you don't talk, no noise is going on, even though the mind may be busy, the power of the silence is at work. When you talk a lot, have too many conversations, Maya is at work. Maya rules over you. I'm not speaking of in satsang particularly, I'm speaking of in your home, at work. Always have very little to say, and you'll be safe. If you have too much to say, it causes conflict, misunderstanding, and chaos. As an example, the politicians of today. They talk and 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 talk. You know, people are gullible enough to believe everything they say. This is why the world is always in chaotic conditions. Because of all the talking. If we had a politician who said nothing, he would raise everybody's consciousness, or she. And we would have a heaven on this earth. But it's not bound to be. It's not meant to be. Everything on this earth is unfolding as it should. Everything is happening the way it's supposed to. Remember, the idea of jnana is not to make this world a better place in which to live. For the world is maya. It's an illusion. This is the reason why a jnani never advocates world peace. Or bringing good into this world. For the realization that this world does not exist. Even though it appears to exist. Only the absolute reality exists. As this world. As the appearance. We have to remember that the world is an appearance. If we can only remember this, that the world is an appearance because it keeps changing all the time and it's never the same. If we just remember this, we will be careful what we say, what we do, how we act. For the appearance is an appearance of duality. What goes around comes around. Cause and effect, karma. This is the appearance of the world. When you remain in the silence and you do not talk much, then the appearance of this world begins to dissolve. The appearance of the body begins to dissolve. You begin to feel differently. You begin to see things differently. you are no longer surviving, trying to make ends meet, trying to improve your condition. You begin to understand there is no condition to improve. You are beyond conditioning. Good or bad, sickness or health, lack or limitation or riches, it's all the same. It's neither good nor bad. It's an appearance. And whatever you're experiencing, you have to experience the other. It's like a pendulum swinging back and forth. The pendulum goes to one side, then has to go back to the other side. And so it is with human life. So-called human life is the same thing. We experience one side of it, then we experience the other side of it, sooner or later. But no human being, so to speak, ever experiences oneness. It's impossible. For the whole universe is duality. So, many people, when they first get involved with Advaita Vedanta, with Jnana, believe that this is a very selfish teaching. Believe that it's a very conceited teaching. Why? For the idea is to become self-realized. Jnanis are always expressing themselves, I am Brahman. I am pure awareness. I am the absolute reality. And people do not understand this. Say, why don't you think about this world? Why don't you help the poor? Why don't you try to alleviate man's inhumanity to man? Why do you not help the homeless? Why don't you try to make this world a better world in which to live? They say this because they do not understand what we're talking about. When a being becomes so-called self-realized, the self-realization is not for him or her alone. The self-realization is a universal feeling. I am the universe is the realization. I am the Brahman, the all-pervading one. This is the realization. The realization is not about yourself. This is something we always have to remember. It is not selfishness. The teaching is not conceit. For when you become self-realized, there's no longer a you. What you have called a you has disappeared. What you call a you has become the whole universe. Therefore, just by being self-realized, you are helping the world without thinking about it. Again, why? Because you have become the world. You see? You're no longer Jack or Jane or Mary or Bob or anybody else. A person who touches on self-realization becomes the entire universe. And therefore you see only the goodness. You do not separate goodness from badness. There no longer is any badness in your psyche. In your consciousness, you have transcended badness, so-called. everything is good. Even the so-called things we call evil on this earthly plane. You begin to understand everything that happens to you is for your own good, for your own benefit. Nothing is here to ever hurt you, as strange as it may seem. Everything is here for your advancement. Everything. Every situation, every predicament is here for your advancement. Consequently, this teaching is the most unselfish teaching there is. For when the Jnani says, I am Brahman, he then refers to the human the attack dogs.
You got in alive nonetheless.
So, when the Jnani says, I am Brahman, I am consciousness, I am the absolute reality, the Jnani is not referring to himself. That's something you always have to remember. Jnani is referring to I am. I am encompasses the whole world, the whole universe. And of course, Brahman is the same thing. Brahman encompasses the whole universe, everything. Therefore, you are everything. But to the average person who does not understand this, they think that you're talking about yourself when you say, I am Brahman. And they go home and they say, well, those Jnanis are all for themselves. They only think about themselves. They're only interested in themselves. Because they're always saying, I am Brahman, I am consciousness, I am absolute reality. Try to understand this thoroughly. I am is eternity. Consciousness is the absolute reality. Now you can perhaps understand why Jnani never takes revenge on people, never is concerned about getting hurt, never cares about the body too much. Because the realization again is, I am not the body. Again, when we're speaking of I am, we're not speaking about Henry or Sue or anybody else. We're speaking about I am. I am is not the body. Consciousness is not the body. Therefore, when you're in your highest state of thought and you affirm I am consciousness, you understand what this means. Everything is consciousness. Everything is I am. Everything is Brahman. And of course, in that state, you automatically have reverence for all of life. What else can you do? You have no choice. Because you are all of life. So how can you hurt yourself? It's impossible. But you have to understand the thinking of a Jnani, thoughts like this does not appear. That I'm hurting, I'm not hurting myself, that I am all pervading. Those thoughts are gone. A Jnani just is. Not this nor that, just is. Isness. And there's really nothing to say about that. So this teaching is not selfishness, not conceit. It is the truth, it is reality. Of course, it does happen when some people become involved with a teaching like this. They may become completely insane and believe they alone are God. They may believe that their body is consciousness, that their body is the absolute reality. This is a grave mistake that some people make. You have no body to be reality. There is no body to be consciousness. There is no body to be pure awareness. This has absolutely nothing to do with your body whatsoever. The body idea falls away. Always remember this. We are not trying to elevate our body, to make the body perfect and make it live forever. The whole concept of a body is erroneous thinking, false imagination. The body idea is a dream. The body does not exist the way it appears. So again, by sitting in the silence, all of these truths become evident to you. Everything happens by itself.
Yes, he's here on Sundays and on Thursdays.
Everything happens all by itself. There's nothing you have to do. And now you know why. Because when you are the doer, you are the body, and the doer and the body can never be anything else but itself. You cannot be a body, you cannot be a doer, and you cannot be self-realized at the same time. The body idea has to go. The dual idea has to be transcended. You cannot be self-realized and be a body. But then you're saying, but I see many yanis who are a body. So how can you say that? You ask your own question. You see this. Who are you? Are you self-realized if you can say that you see a yani's body? The yoni knows he has no body. He never had a body, never will have a body. But the yoni sees the body. Don't ask me why things are like they are, I don't know. That's how things appear. The whole universe is a great mistake. Why does it appear as it is? That's an important question that people ask. Why is this universe here? If it doesn't exist. And the answer may be a little elusive for some of you, but you'll understand. The answer is there is no universe. It doesn't exist. Very few people can comprehend this. No one made it appear. There are people who believe God created the universe. This is the story that's told to children. They have an explanation for the universe. We have to have some explanation. We don't want to appear dumb. Doing. Human beings don't want to appear as if they don't know. Therefore, when you ask somebody, where does the universe come from? They tell you, God created it. And when you ask them, where did God come from? There's nothing to say. They will say, that's not for you to know. As many churches tell you, that's blasphemy. They say, never ask where God came from, it's blasphemy. You'll go to hell and burn. If you ask questions like that. But we have to think about these things sometime. And remember, I'm sharing with you my own experiences. It's so wonderful to know these things, to be so sure of these things, to understand these things, that there is no universe, nothing is going on. Nothing is happening. As long as you appear to be happening, and you think you are a body, even though you know this intellectually, what I'm saying, this helps. You know it intellectually. For you'll be careful what you do. What I'm saying is, when you come to satsang, and your own state of affairs, you hear what I'm saying intellectually. And you want to believe it somewhere inside your psyche. Just by knowing this, you will be careful what you do. For you will have an idea that you are the self of the entire universe. So you'll never hurt anybody. You will never think of anybody being evil. You'll never think anything about anyone. But in the same instance, you'll never think of anybody being good. That's the same mistake. No good and no evil. The two sides of the same coin. And when your mind starts to accept that everything is nothing, the mind begins to ease off, to let you go. But there has to be no conflict with the mind. You're never going to have conflict with your mind. By conflict with the mind, I mean you're never to try to change the mind, or tell the mind what to do, or practice affirmations, as if you're trying to convince yourself of something. The mind is too smart for that. It will never let you loose by being in conflict with it. But by smiling at it, by laughing at it, by ignoring it, by observing it, by watching it, and not reacting, the mind becomes weaker and weaker and weaker until it disappears altogether. This is how you stop the mind. You do not have conflict with anybody. Whatever happens, happens. this is sort of a contradiction again. Because sometimes I tell you, of course, to take action and do whatever you have to do. But it's never a contradiction, they're both correct. When you leave your mind alone, and you do not think of having any kind of vengeance or suing people or getting involved with people in a negative way, automatically, the power that knows the way will make you do the right things, whatever you're supposed to do. But you always remember that you are not a doer. These things are very paradoxical, very subtle, very contradictory. When you're doing something, you need to know the doer. To me, it's very clear. Yes, it's possible to be doing things and not be the doer. For the appearance of a body has to be in the world of action. Or the appearance of the body would not be here. In other words, it's virtually impossible for a human being to sit still all of his life or her life and do nothing. It will never happen. You may say there are great saints and sages who live in caves, who have been living in caves all their lives, who live by themselves. Well, who says they're doing nothing? They have to go out and search for food. They cook their food. They take a bath in the river. They go to the bathroom. They do all kinds of things. You can't be a human being and do absolutely nothing. It's impossible. But you don't have to think about this. You merely have to know the truth. And again, the truth is that you were never born, you do not prevail, and you never die. The same truth that's for you is for the universe. We are a replica of the universe. We are the microcosm and the macrocosm. What you think about yourself, you have to think about the universe also. So you understand that the universe never existed, never came into being. There was no beginning to the universe. Just as there was no beginning to you. The universe does not prevail. And the universe does not go into dissolution someplace. It ends. Just like your body. Everything that you attribute to your body, you attribute to this universe. This is why when a person becomes self-realized, they then realize there's no separation between them and this universe. There's only one. The realization comes, this whole universe has always been you. You are that. You're able to understand and exclaim, all of this is the self, and I am that. It's really very simple. It's not complicated. It's all right to know it intellectually. Many people come to me and tell me, I know what you're saying intellectually, I hear what you're saying intellectually. But when is it going to happen to me actually? It will never happen to you actually, because there's nothing to happen. What do you want to happen to you? People still want to see blazing light and see stars and geometrical figures and hear beautiful music. These things are all of the mind. All you're doing when these things ensue is you're going into subtle areas of the mind. Where there are things happening just like the things happening in this plane of existence. So in the subtle planes of existence there are also things happening. They may be a little different. You may hear sacred voices talking to you. You may hear the voice of your deity. Maybe it's the Christ or a Buddha or somebody else. You're making headway. But remember, this is too also of the mind. It is the mind that causes all of this. You want to go beyond that. You want to go beyond everything. Never stop and say, I've arrived. For when you make this statement, I've arrived, it shows you have not arrived. Because there's somebody to arrive. When you have arrived, there's nothing to say. And there's no one to say it. It's all been transcended. So as long as you can ask the question, am I enlightened? I think I am. That's a joke. Laugh at yourself. For if you were truly enlightened, there would be nobody to ask a question like this. You have nothing to think about. When a thinker has been transcended, there's no thinker. Therefore remember that the story of creation is a mess. Your body is a mess, the universe is a mess. Nothing appears as it seems. Again, just knowing this intellectually is a lot for you. Again, why? Because we'll teach you to react differently towards person, place, and thing. You will begin to react with love, with compassion. You will have reverence for all of life. Why? Because all of life is you. You are that. All selfishness will leave you. You will stop thinking, what's in this for me? I come first. Survival of the fittest. And all that crap. That kind of thinking must go, and it will go. When you just accept all this is a self and I am that. You are the self of every so-called human being, every animal, every creature that flies, every tree, every mineral. You are the self of that. resume. It exists because you exist. When you cease to exist, that will cease to exist. As an example, in sleep. When you are asleep, there is no universe. As far as you're concerned, you do not exist, the universe does not exist. It's only when you wake up, you say, here's the universe, here's my body. This is the reason sleep is given to you. Sleep is not given to you psychologically. Many psychologists and psychiatrists think human beings sleep because they have to rest for a certain amount of time in order to renew and refresh their bodies. This is true in a bodily sense, but sleep has a deeper meaning. Sleep is to make you see that you disappear during sleep. You do not exist. As far as you're concerned, you're dead. Therefore, the wise person, like the sages of old, the rishis, used to think about these things. I do not exist in sleep, but I awaken and I seem to exist. Therefore, what is the truth? Who am I? They used to ask themselves the question. Who am I? Where did the I come from? The eye that thinks is sleeping and the eye that wakes up. Where did the I come from? The great rishis of old used to think this way. And they used to sit in the silence for hours just thinking about this. Where did I come from? When I say, where did I come from, I'm not referring to the body. I'm referring to I, the idea of I, the I thought. Where did this I thought come from? How did it arise? Who gave it birth? And by asking this question over and over again, and keeping still, the ancient rishis were able to perceive the I disappearing into nothingness. And they experienced illumination. Now most of us are too busy to sit under a tree for 6 or 7 hours a day and contemplate the I. But we can inquire, who am I? We can inquire, to whom does this world come? To whom does the problems I have come? To whom does my anxieties, my depressions come? To whom does everything come? You can inquire this way. And this will make you go deeper and deeper. Remember, the purpose of self-inquiry is to make you go deeper and deeper and deeper into the self. That's the only purpose. The more you inquire, the more you go into the self. Yet 90% of the people who practice self-inquiry drop out. They become tired of it, they become sick of the whole thing. Yet, you have to realize this method is very valid. It's been valid for thousands of years and it's valid today. It's up to you to practice it and find out for yourself what happens. Practice it again and again and again and again without thinking about it. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where's its source? Where do my thoughts come from? Where is the source of my thoughts? Where is the source of my body? Where is the source of the universe? Where did it all come from? The answer is within you. And if you are sincere, if you truly practice, forget about time, just do it. You have to see something happening to you sooner or later. You will awaken and be forever happy and in peace. So be it.
That I should have said.
I hear a voice in the back of me.
It's George.
An 18-year-old man came to me this morning with his mother, and because he was being kicked out of many schools one after another, and they wanted to know where he could go to school. Plus, he wanted to talk to me about his life. And he told me that he has a strange power that comes over him sometimes, and sometimes it tells him to go to his gang members and go out and do some rumbling with them and shooting at people and beating up people and stealing from them. And other times he says the power seems to direct him to go to church and pray to God and speak in tongues at a charismatic Methodist church. And he enjoys reading the Bible. And if you listen to him, you get the impression that he really wants to be one with God and close to God. But he's also very attracted to the things that he hears coming to him from what he calls the devil, which tells him to have sex with many girls and steal from people and shoot at people, and he enjoys that. He gets a high from it, he says. Now, when he was asking me what he should do, I immediately thought of Robert Adams, and I said, I suppose, should I give him a Robert Adams answer and tell him to everything is, you know, everything is happening as it should, and let the power lead you, it knows the way, and if it tells you to go out and shoot people and steal from them, you do that, and when the power leads you to church and pray to God and read your Bible, then you do that, and you just keep going back and forth, shooting one day and going to church the next, and everything will evolve and you'll be balanced out in years to come. I could have told him all that, but I said, I have a hunch I should give a more societally acceptable answer. So I talked in terms of the power being a neutral force and his own motivation was his decision. So I broke another Robert Adams cardinal rule and let him know that there was no predestination, that he had a choice in how he used this power, either for enjoyment of power and being power hungry, or use it for his selfishness or his glory versus humanitarian type of pursuits. And he admitted to me he loved the power. He loved the high, the power, the intimidating of other people. He admitted that. And so I got into the subject of karma and reincarnation without using those words about, how if we go in the that direction of listening to the what he calls the devil, then what that'll lead to us in our lives and in future lifetimes and vice versa. But I kind of felt a little guilty that I wasn't giving him a Robert Adams answer because I'm a student of Robert Adams. But another part of me thinks that Robert would have said, "No, George, for this person, if you had told him all is well and everything is unfolding as it should, don't worry, son, just follow the power, whatever it tells you to do, you just keep doing it and everything will work out." I kind of feel that Robert would have not told me to say it that way, but I'll ask anyways because maybe I'll learn something here.
You are right, George. Run down to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and run down to God that which is God's. Which actually means people who come to a meeting like this, satsang, are not forced to come. So you're not the average. You've been working on yourself a great deal spiritually to be attracted to something like this. This is not a teaching for the average person in the streets. You are correct by telling them not to do the things they're doing, to try to work themselves into an understanding that they're an important individual, that they count, that they matter. And trying to elevate their consciousness. That's what you can do with a person like this. You cannot give them these teachings. Well, they're not ready for teaching like this. These teachings that we teach here, and that's for everyone. The average person cannot understand these things at all. And if you give teaching like this to the wrong person, they will take it for license to do what they want, what they please. Of course, you cannot tell them nothing matters, but they will go out and do worse things if nothing matters. You cannot tell a person like this the world doesn't exist, your body doesn't exist. They will take it all the wrong way. You have to give them practical advice, because that's your job. Do not confuse both. Your job as a psychologist is to try to elevate their psyche, to make them so-called normal, to be able to function in society, which is completely different than what we're doing here. For here, where there's no society, we do not wish to function in society. It's altogether different. But you can't tell this to your patients. They're coming from a different level than where we're coming from. Therefore, they're the right thing, George. But always remember, not confuse both places. This place is for you. The streets are for the students. You need to help them in a materialistic way. But what you should do for yourself, which will help them tremendously, is to know the truth yourself without voicing it. In other words, as you're working with this young man, know this young man is a child of the universe, a child of God, and he is perfect in God's eyes. There are no mistakes. He's dealing with a perfect being who lives in a perfect universe, and all is well. This is knowing the truth yourself, but in that voice, this is a person. If you know the truth yourself about the person, this will help the person subconsciously. And the person may even tell you, I don't know what you did to me, but I feel better. Just by knowing this truth about the person, without voicing it to the person. Well, again, if you voice it to the person, they'll take it the wrong way. So you work on two levels. On one level, you're telling them what to do materially, how to function on this earth. You explain to them whatever you do comes around back to you. And on the other hand, you're knowing the truth about this person in your mind. You're seeing this person as God. This person has come to you as God himself. This person is God. And everything's really perfect, everything's really clear. All is well. Just by knowing this truth will help the person tremendously. So that's the way you should function on two levels.
Thank you.
Is everybody happy?
There will be some
Prasad. Sing the Prasad again, George. Always thinking of food.
Why not?
Anyone have anything to say?
Now, when everybody philosophically says you are and me same, you know everything. Why I cannot know everything? You are and I am same, you know. You are in yours, I am also in yours.
Who says you don't know everything? You say that. I don't say that. You're the one who makes that claim. Why do you say that? That's not true. As far as I'm concerned, you're me. We are the same, there's no difference.
If you don't say that we are same?
We're the same.
How can I don't know anything?
Why?
That's why I'm asking you.
I say you know everything. I say you are everything. But you're the one who says that you're not. Find out why.
No, philosophically, I'm everything, but I don't know everything.
You know everything because you are everything. What if you need to know you already know? Ask yourself why you think you don't know everything. Inquire within yourself. Who said I don't know everything? Who said I'm human? Who said I'm limited? It is your ego asked this question, not you. You are pure and bright and shining. You are Brahman. You are the Absolute Reality. That's how I see you. That's you. But if you refuse to see yourself that way, what can I do?
If I don't born and if I don't die, then who born, take a rebirth and everything according to karma theory?
No one. There's no one to do this. No one is alive who can do anything like this. This is all illusion, it's Maya. Like a snake in the rope, like a water in the desert in the mirage, it's an optical illusion, it's a belief. It's mesmerism, you've been hypnotized.
By whom?
By yourself. You hypnotize yourself into believing this. So you have to dehypnotize yourself by inquiring who is hypnotized. Who feels limited? Who am I? And through this inquiry you will come up with the answers and you will become free.
Do you know of any spiritual shock treatment method to break up these patterns of beliefs that are screwing us up?
Yeah. How many more shocks do you want? I shock you every time you come here. If you can't feel the shock, I can't help it. Just by being here, this is shock treatment.
True.
But you can put your finger in the socket and see what happens.
I did that once.
You did, Fred?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I mean, I want to experience things, and one day I just want to know, what is it like to feel electricity? So put my finger in it.
That's why it's like it is.
You can see the way I talk nowadays. That's the evidence of it.
Now I understand you better.
You never used to have an accent.
Curly hair.
Okay, Mary Rigliani.
For a Yani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Yani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Yani rests in his own essential nature. his own Svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom, absolute. A Jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Marie. Now, this is what you've all been waiting for. I don't know why you're coming out. It's me. A whole cashew, roasted and salted, just for you.